San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from KFMB with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast to Oregon, and up to Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. If you have an app for 760 KFMB, you can hear us on your smartphone. And we are streaming live on 760KFMB.com. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's a best-selling author. He's an accomplished marathon runner. And he is a family office expert advising many high-net-worth families. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
Joe, I'm great. Welcome back to town from Chicago. So did you fly in with the Cubs or did you fly in with the Blackhawks and drive down from L.A.?
Well, no, I flew in.
Oh, by yourself?
Yeah, actually, you're not going to believe who was on the plane when I get back.
Who's that? But,
Bill Lirak's mother-in-law, right in the front row.
Oh, okay.
I flew with Hannah all the way back and got her to her husband at baggage claim when we landed.
Good.
But you, as you know, last Thursday when I landed, I left here and leaving fires and 97-degree weather. Landed in Chicago, and it was 48 degrees in May.
So, and you had shorts on, huh?
And I had shorts
on. Way to go, man.
And but anyway, my congratulations to Elise and Mike and their big, fat Jewish Catholic wedding. They got married in the oldest church, Old St. Patrick's in Chicago, built in 1850, survived the Chicago fire of 1871, and had a wonderful reception in the Chicago Cultural Center. Was just a magnificent day, a wonderful day. I don't know if I'll ever see anything quite like that again.
Good. Well, we had fun without you.
Yeah, I heard the show. Yeah.
We had a lot of fun.
Yes, we always have fun. That's the main deal. Anyway, how about we get? Oh, you have some announcements.
Oh, just
tonight.
A couple quick announcements. A couple of running bits of running news. Tomorrow morning, Sunday morning in Vista, right before the Vista Strawberry Fest itself, we have the Vista Strawberry Fest 10K and 5K. That's one of my babies. I'm the founder of that event. Mm-hmm. So if you got nothing to do in the morning, come out and run either 6.2 miles or 3.1 before the big Vista Strawberry Fest, benefiting a bunch of great causes in the city of Vista. And second thing, Thursday night, June 5th at the old Balboa Stadium, Jim Ryan is in town for the 50th anniversary of becoming the first high school boy ever to break the 4-minute mile barrier for, you know, running 1 mile. And so there's a bunch of kids races, kids 1-milers from about 5:30 to 7. I think Jim is presenting at 7:30. And then they bring out the elites and the masters. And I'm running the 1-miler in the celebrity media 1 mile at, I think, 8:35 on Thursday night, June 5th. That's at Balboa Stadium. We have information about that up on the website, or you can go to competitor.com/Jim Ryan, and he spells it R-Y-U-N.
Or iymoney.com, right?
It's up there. It's on our website, too, iymoney.com.
There we go.
Hey, well, let's get to our guests.
Yeah, but 15,000 people in Vista, right? It's a big deal, right?
At the Strawberry Fest, there'll be about 5,000 runners.
Yeah, and then this thing, Balboa Stadium, that's in a historic site, too.
That's a historic site, too, in terms of track in San Diego.
Not only was that the only site, the site of our only championship in this town as far as football.
The Chargers.
The Beatles played there.
The Beatles played there.
1968 and probably many other things I don't know about. But
absolutely. Oh, by the way, Vista Strawberry Fest, 5K and 10K. Chocolate strawberries at the finish line. Yeah.
All right. Then you'll have to run again to burn
exactly.
those off. Anyway, we've got two VIP guests tonight, Richard. I think we should get right into it. One is an encore appearance.
Yes.
This gentleman was a Vietnam veteran. He's was a prosecutor in Los Angeles and has a storied career in law in San Diego. Graduate of USD Law School.
Joe Terreras.
1982. Many other things we can get into, but let's bring him on right now. Candidate for District Attorney Bob Brewer. Bob, how are you tonight?
Good evening, Joe. Richard, good evening.
Pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
How's the campaign been going? How many debates have you had so far?
Well, we've had several forums, and mm-hmm. we've had one debate where that I can recall that all three of us showed up, the KPBS, excuse mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
one.
Okay.
You can mention it.
I'm sorry. And we've had several forums, mm-hmm. and then we have one next week on the 28th, mm-hmm. which is the last debate before the election on June 3rd.
And I guess the TV ads are going to start stacking up now, right? I mean, that's the way it goes. You kind of do the last push at the
yes, at the end. And they've already been some, and there'll be more.
Mm-hmm. Although I did go absentee. Did you vote absentee, Richard?
I haven't voted yet.
You vote absentee or do you go to the polling
place?
No,
I'll go to the poll.
Okay. I like to mail it in.
Yeah. Yeah, mail it in, Joe. Sort of like the Cubs last night.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? Richard, what's your best time for the mile?
My best time for the I only started running in my late 40s. My best time for the miles is 6:02. I haven't been able to break six.
It's still pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Tell me about that. Who did we have on that gentleman, that young kid who ran in high school?
We had Lucas Verzbikas on the show just before Thanksgiving because he was running in my Oceanside event, but he is the fastest two-miler in the history of high school in this country with a 429 or 428?
Something like that. Unbelievable.
Per mile. It was like an 828 or an 829, a 414 pace for a two-miler.
Yeah.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
He's in Wikipedia.
Yeah.
But he came out for your turkey
trot. Not that far from your hometown of Chicago, Joe.
Right. And he ran in your turkey trot.
Exactly.
In November.
Yeah. So Lucas Verzbikas. Yeah. Great guy.
I was a pole vaulter.
Nice.
Yes, in high school.
Nice. The Fosbury flop.
No.
I had a pole.
You had a pole. Okay. Oh, okay. Not a high jumper. He's a high jumper. That's right.
Pole vaulting, that's a tough.
That's a hard sport.
That's a good way to dislocate your shoulder.
Exactly.
That's all right. But anyway, so you've had four debates and some coming up here. So what salient points have you been experiencing so far, Bob, and how have you been countering them? Or what would you like to discuss tonight regarding
I've never been a candidate before, so it's been an interesting process. We have 10 days and a wake-up, as we say, but who's counting? It's been a fascinating experience. I've met some wonderful people. I'm amazed at how many people really care about local government and ask some very, very good questions. I'm also disappointed in the number of people that don't know what the district attorney does. And there's been an educational situation in many meetings, which is fine. But it's a very, very important job.
Yeah.
And I love to ask people what they think is the most impactful person they can elect, and you get the sheriff and the supervisor and a mayor, and then I remind them that none of those, they're all very important positions, but none of those people can indict you.
Right.
Or put you in jail.
Right.
And so the district attorney is a very, very important job. And my motto is, or slogan of this campaign is public safety without politics.
Mm.
And I'm going to remove politics from that office. I'll never endorse anybody for anything ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never run for another office. I'm going to be apolitical, nonpartisan, and be a prosecutor.
Is that what compelled you to get in the race in the first place? You thought the office was being misused for political purposes?
The tipping point for me was when the incumbent, Bonnie Dumanis, who I respect for her public service, I want to say, but when she announced she was running for mayor 70 days after she was sworn into her third term, I just found that to be
disturbing.
A very, very bad judgment because she's supposed to be the district attorney, and it's obvious that she didn't want the job because right after she was sworn in, she tried for another job. If you know anything about organizational leadership, that sends a terrible message. And this is an organization of 1,000 employees, $160 million budget. And she spent 17 months basically telling the office, I don't want this job, I want that job.
Mm-hmm.
And that has a deleterious effect on the office. It had a very bad effect on law enforcement. And it was just sending the wrong message.
Yeah. It also created sort of a conflict of interest with regard to the Mayor Filner situation, in my humble opinion.
Well, I completely agree because she ran against Mr. Filner for 17 months and then endorsed Carl DeMaio, when Mr. Filner got in problems, she had to disqualify the entire office.
And
she had to recuse the office because of the conflict of interest. There are layers and layers of conflicts of interest. And then, of course, she's in the middle of a fundraising scandal, the largest fundraising scandal in the history of this county.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of Mayor Filner, the lady who initiated a lot of the movement to have him removed, Donna Frye, has contacted you and supported your candidacy, correct?
Donna Frye is one of my endorsers, and I appreciate it very much. We had a wonderful lunch. We talked about she wanted to know what I stood for. She wanted to know about my background. And she also joined me in a recent press conference when we asked for the disclosure of documents related to a situation that has recently been brought forth when the district attorney called the mayor of Chula Vista and asked that one of her staff members be appointed to the city council. And when the mayor said, no, we're not going to do that, 2 weeks later, everybody on the city council received a subpoena. And then that led to people being put before the grand jury, and that led to a prosecution of Steve Castaneda. And the deputy district attorney who prosecuted Mr. Castaneda did not know of the telephone call to the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And he has said that if he did know about it, he would have recused the district attorney's office from that prosecution. That's another example of a district attorney being way too political.
I wonder if under the Freedom of Information Act, maybe you can access, I don't know how much time, you know, it might take weeks and weeks, but maybe you can access it.
Well, we were, there, another case, a companion case of another individual who pled guilty to a misdemeanor. The lawyer of that individual filed a motion to have that conviction expunged and reversed, and he filed a, or he served a subpoena for the documents, but the hearing on that subpoena is not going to be until the 10th of June, and the election is the 3rd of June. She's trying to run the clock out.
Yeah. You know, you've been picking up a lot of good endorsements. I went on your website, which is, let's give the website, brewerforda.com, right?
Yes, brewerforda.com.
Right. So you've got some high-powered attorneys, Brian Monahan, and Vince Bartolotta, and,
yes,
and any others you care to mention that are...
Oh, I have some wonderful endorsements. I have many, many of the most respected lawyers in town, but I also have four former San Diego U.S. attorneys who've endorsed me. I have two former California attorney generals, John Vandekamp and George Duke Magian, have endorsed me.
Hmm.
I've been endorsed by Father Joe Carroll.
Mm-hmm.
I've been endorsed by 98% of all of the law enforcement associations in the county. I've been endorsed by associations which represent over 100,000 police officers throughout the state. I've been endorsed by the California Highway Patrol. So the endorsements are there. I'm clearly law enforcement's choice for this job.
You know, about 20 of the 24 or 22 of the 24.
Yes, 98%.
So anyway, I think it's about time to take a break. We'll be right back with the nonpartisan Bob Brewer right after this. Hang on.
AM 760. Now, it's your money and your life on AM 760 KFMB.
All right, we are back with more of It's Your Money in Your Life with the decline to state his party, Bob Brewer. Bob, that is that's admirable. You know, we need a good independent candidate in a lot of offices in this country, and it's great that you're doing that here. So,
well, it's the main really plank of my platform is no politics, and I'm not a member of any party. I'm declined to state. I'm going to stay that way. I'm nonpartisan.
Well, you know, it's obvious that the DA can do a lot of, I guess, harm by using their office as a political wedge and, you know, going after people for just for political purposes rather than for legal ones or whatever, right? So I think that's what you have a problem with.
Well, I think this Castaneda case is an example of that.
Yeah.
And what about the Dronenberg situation?
Well, it's really interesting because in 2007, when the district attorney announced her public integrity unit, she said that she was not going to endorse anybody except for what she now says is unusual circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And then she qualified that even further to say that would be in public safety elections. And now she's endorsed the assessor of the county. And that has nothing to do with public safety. And it's just another example of what is the district attorney endorsing anyone for anything. I mean, the district attorney should be out of politics. And that is the perfect example of why without politics is so important.
And he's controversial because he would not issue licenses for same-sex marriages, even though it's been deemed legal and constitutional in this state, right?
Yes, but it doesn't fit within any classification that she ever tried to justify endorsements for.
Right. So
that's why I just don't understand it.
You're pledging never to endorse any candidate if you become DA, correct?
I will not endorse anyone for anything ever, and that includes judges, because this district attorney regularly endorses judges, and I think that's totally inappropriate, because if a judge that she endorses sits on the bench and that judge hears criminal cases, they're going to be employees of the district attorney that appear before that judge. What are the optics of that to the other side of the courtroom?
Mm.
And that's something that she just doesn't seem to either care about. But that's the district attorney should not be endorsing judges, in my opinion.
Now, I noticed elder abuse is on your agenda of areas that need drastic improvement. I did hear someone from the DA's office the other morning talk about they were on TV, so obviously you must be moving the debate to address that. But this gentleman said, I've been working on this 18 years, but no statistics as to actually what they're doing. He had some tips on how you can address it. But What do you intend to do when you get in there, Bob, regarding elder abuse?
Well, this is a huge topic, and I started talking about this 10 months ago, and both of the other candidates now, it's one of the top things that they talk about, and it should be because it's a very, very serious area. When I'm the district attorney, that right now, this one individual, there's been one individual who's been in charge of the elder abuse area for the last 11 years, Paul Greenwood. He is a very talented lawyer. Don't ever, I will never say anything against him. He knows it. He's nationally renowned. But he doesn't have any lawyers working for him. And I've talked to him. I also have spoken to a group of elder law lawyers in this county who specialize in elder law. And they all told me of numerous referrals that they have made to the district attorney's office, and nothing is done. And the response is, we just don't have the people.
Yeah, they, they have no capacity whatsoever.
Well, they have 320 lawyers.
But I mean, in terms of that particular issue, they just don't...
Well, their priorities are...
Well, it's going to be a priority of mine.
Greenwood has no capacity behind him. It's not a priority.
Well,
it's sad.
It's going to be a priority. I have a 93-year-old mother who is in great shape, and twice in the past 18 months... they have tried to scam her on the phone, telling her that she had a grandson in jail in Mexico and that she was supposed to send $1,250 to a Western Union address. And this has happened twice. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. What I'm going to do here in San Diego is five deputy DAs are going to be assigned to work with Paul Greenwood. We're going to have an appropriate number of investigators. It's going to get a significant amount of attention when I'm a district attorney. We're going to have outreach programs. We're going to have educational programs. We're going to talk about the people who should report and make sure that they know that they should report. And we're going to put these people who prey on seniors in jail.
Good. Make an example out of a few people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Bob, moving from the elderly to young people, we had Sarah Boot on, who's running for Mayor Faulkner's district seat, and she mentioned that her district that she's running for is sort of the epicenter of human trafficking of young people here.
Yes.
What are you planning to do about that issue? Because it's an issue that doesn't really get much press because it's such a disturbing thing to even have to think about.
Well, it is. And I'm glad you brought that up, Richard, because, again, that's one of the areas I'm going to focus on. It's very curious that, again, the district attorney's talking about it. Prop 35, which was on the ballot in 2012, which enhanced the penalties for human trafficking and was a significant move to help fight that problem. She didn't endorse Prop 35. It passed by 81% of the voters in this state, and the District Attorney of San Diego did not endorse it. But what I'm going to do in the human trafficking area, and I brought with me Michael Ramos, who is the District Attorney of San Bernardino, has set up a marvelous program. It's called CASE, Coalition Against Sexual Exploitation. And let me just read you the mission statement, because I'm not at all adverse to copying what works. And if it works someplace else, let's bring it here. And
have you put off seeing the dentist because you can't afford...
Forget the dentist. Let's get to it.
But
we've got a trainee on the board.
Is Bob,
it just shows you. It's like pulling teeth with this new, with this existing DA. Anyway.
But the CASE is a, quote, partnership of public and private entities who have joined together to develop resources in the county to educate, prevent, intervene, and treat victims of sexual exploitation. The CASE goal is to coordinate services tailored to the characteristics and circumstances of these children, train law enforcement on investigation and detection, educate the public, and create awareness to protect children from abuse and exploitation, unquote.
Yeah, that's
that
good.
That is what I'm going to put in place in San Diego when I'm the district attorney.
Outstanding. So let's see, Richard, we have...
So June 3rd's coming up.
June 3rd is 10 days away.
10 days away.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's a very important election, and I ask for your support.
When are the next debates coming up? You have something on TV coming up, Bob?
Yes. The next debate is May 28th, Wednesday night at Shiley Auditorium.
Okay.
USD.
USD,
okay.
Yes.
Will that be televised or just...
I believe so.
Okay.
I believe
is that USD or UCSD?
No, Shiley is...
Shiley is USD.
USD.
Yeah, University of San Diego. That's right.
And the only thing I wanted to correct, and I apologize, I graduated from law school in 75, not 82.
Oh, okay. What did I say?
We were trying to make you younger, Bob. I'm sorry.
Did I say 82?
I appreciate it.
You said 82, Jim.
Oh, you moved to San Diego in 82.
Moved to San Diego in 82.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. But no, that's all right, because I graduated in 75, then I went to L.A., where
to
I was
LA.
A deputy DA and an assistant U.S. attorney. Moved back here in 82, been here ever since.
Now, obviously, up there, it's a much bigger market and more horrendous cases and caseload. So obviously you're well seasoned for San Diego.
Had some wonderful cases up there. Had a tried a murder for hire, tried a spy case, tried the last hijacking from LAX.
You did the Zaharsky spy case, right?
And I did the Marion Zaharsky spy case.
That's a fascinating one.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, you keep getting criticized that you haven't put people in jail or whatever. I mean, my gosh, you've worked in some of the highest level of criminal law in the country, right? So
I had 65 jury trials as a prosecutor.
Okay,
so
that's a lot.
Very proud of all those.
Yeah. Outstanding. Well, Bob, we're in the home stretch. Folks, if you want to help out on his campaign, get over to Brewer4FORDA.com. And we'd like to thank you very much and wish you the best on the campaign. For DA.
And Bob, June 3rd is my birthday, too.
Richard, happy
big
birthday.
Day. It's a big day in San Diego.
Let's get together and celebrate.
Okay, we will.
Anyway, thank you for having me on.
Our pleasure.
I really appreciate it.
All right, much energy and much luck to you. So we'll be right back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life right after this.